Eric Siskin, Shlomo Batsuz, Eitan Wiener, is he in the Shia? He's in Eretz Yisrael. What, for the year or just for Yantiv?
No, just for Yantiv.
Okay. Shulam Ratz, is he in the Shia? Asha Nemes, Moshe Greenberg. Anybody know who he is? Alive? Ori Rakovsky. Daniel Weiss. David Buchbinder. Bensi Green. Ruben Mahler. Moshe Borg. Adam Feltenthal. Daniel Hertz. Uriel Rabinowitz. Yitzi Kesak. Sariel Malitsky. Okay, Josh Rosenfeld. Not this year. He's in this year. Okay. Elimelech Rosenthal. How's Tzvi Klein doing?
Sick.
Still sick. Aryeh Leibowitz. Yigal Sklarin. Edward Rudolph, Ellie Belizon, Matan Wexler, Steve Kirshenbaum, Yoni Gross, Tansom Cohen, David Mintz, Ranani Amster, Ruby Amish. Oh, hello? Yisrael Glassberg, Yakir Schechter, Judah Kay, David Sidney. Not in the Shia. Okay. Jonathan Merrill. Joseph Rosenfeld. Michael Turoff is here. Amitai Barth. You have a brother? Who's in the South? No? No? Okay. Gershon Eisenberger. Rafi Rosenblum, Baruch Friedman, Hanoch Goldfeder. Yeah, okay. Ayal Frist is in the chair. Visiting soon. Shimon Plotnik. Okay. Freddie Goldman. Jonathan Sassoon. Ravi Lepore. Okay, anybody else whose name is supposed to be on the list? Sorry. Okay. Okay, you let me know when you're officially in the field. Okay. Yesterday we started a discussion about the noodles, and I never finished it. The din is that on bread, you say haloitzi, and on cake and cookies, you say bari minim zayin. So the Gemara says, how do you determine the difference between bread that requires haloitzi and cake and cookies that's mizaynus? And here you bench kirchus hamazon, and there you say alamech, and here you have to wash them until it's a dime. There you don't have to wash these, we didn't go together. Haloitzi until it's a dime and bichus hamazon. So the Gemara says, if it has turis it in nama. If it has turis apaz, then it's haloitzi. If it doesn't have turis apaz, then it's bari minim zayin. But the Gemara says, even if it doesn't have a teresa de nama, it doesn't have a teresa pas, it's a cake. And the bracha is hamoitzi, but if you eat enough of it, if you kaveh suda on the cake, then it becomes hamoitzi. Then the bracha will become hamoitzi. In other words, there's no need for teresa pas. Yeah. So the Gemara says, if you eat enough of it, then it will be hamoitzi. So the Gemara says, therefore, if you bake the cake or the cookies, there is a chiv hafrashas challah. Because there's no need for turis apas for the purpose of hafrashas challah. Hafrashas challah is a din d'arais. In chutzlor, challah's chutzlor is zon midi rabbonon. In challah beretz yisrael b'zman hazeh is also only midi rabbonon. That's the gemara ksuv is daf kaf hei. The challah b'zman hazeh is only midi rabbonon because you don't have the majority of the world Jewish population residing in Eretz Yisrael. But in principle, there is a din d'arais of challah. The pasuk says, "Vayabachochem melechem oritz." Where is that pasuk? Shlach. Chumash Bamidbar Sama Parsha Shlach. Vayabachochem melechem oritz. So the chiyuv hafrashas challah is only on lechem. So we distinguish between lechem as opposed to bar minim zayin. You don't see hamotzi. Lechem and haaretz on bread and on cake and cookies, you don't see hamotzi. So what about with respect to challah? So the Gemara says wrong. With respect to challah, you even chayv in challah on cake and cookies. The first pshat in the Gemara. You don't need to reset the nahama with respect to chiyav challah. So there is a tesis in brachas on that daf. Tesis there, daf lamed zayin on the same daf. But the Tesis says that there are certain, let's say a person is cooking a lot of wheatina farina. A Jewish person makes a lot of Wheaties. A Jewish company manufactures Wheaties. Are they chayv to be mafrish challah on wheatina farina or on Wheaties? So Tesis says no, because it doesn't have a tzuras apas. It means in order to be chayv and challah, you have to have tzuras apas. I think Mar says the Tesis, you don't need tzuras apas. If Mar says to reason an amma, that is Aramaic for tzuras apas, that it should look like a loaf of bread, that's only essential with respect to hamoitzi as opposed to bar minim zayin, and it's look at diamond bichus hamoz, and those three. These are all dinim derabbanon. Hamoitzi versus bar minim zayin is only derabbanon. The whole story of Nitzilus Adayim is only derabbanon for bread. Nitzilus Adayim is only derabbanon. And the pashtus is that bichus hamoz versus alamichi alpi pashtus is also only derabbanon. The pashtus is that if a person would recite alamichi over bread, he would be yotzei bechus hamoz and derech. Some Rishonim hold not that we learn out from the psukim that you need separate brachas for a separate bracha for the food, a separate bracha to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael, and a separate bracha for Yerushalayim and Malchus Beis David. But the pashtus in Mishnah Berurah, of course, the pashtus in the Gemara and the Rishonim is not so. I mean, I tell you, you can include everything in one bracha. So Alamichya contains all the things. Alamichi Alpi Pashtus contains the themes that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food and for Eretz Yisrael, and we speak about Yerushalayim and she gives back Yerushalayim. So the Pashtus is, if a person would recite Alamichi on bread, he would be yotzei b'chiyav b'chus hamozen d'oraisa. Just with the Rabbanon, the Chachamim required that you should recite the b'chus hamozen in the form of separate brachas. Separate bracha for the food, and a separate bracha for the matnas Eretz Yisrael, and a separate bracha for Yerushalayim. So again, the difference between, in the Gemara it says, the difference between Hamoitzi and Bar Minim Zaynes, etc., means in Tilas Adam Brichas Hamozen versus Salamichya, these distinctions are only the Rabbanim, and Atar, it's all the same thing. So there the Gemara says, you need Tzuras Apas. But with respect to Challah, which is a Din Deraisa Lechem, everything has a Din Lechem. Yes, the Tesis says, everything has a Din Lechem, only provided that it has a different kind of a Tzuras Apas. If it's liquidy, wheatina, farina, oatmeal, cereal. You can cook a ton of oatmeal. Let's say you eat a ton of oatmeal cereal. You eat 5 pounds of oatmeal cereal. You don't see hamotzi lechem in haaretz. It never becomes hamotzi. The Gemara says if you kaver sruda on cake, it means if you eat enough of it, then it becomes hamotzi lechem in haaretz. But it still has to have some kind of a tzuras apas. If it's liquidy, for sure it doesn't have a tzuras apas. So that's the usage that Tesis has. The phrase Teresa de Namo, Tzuras HaPas, appears in the Gemara and appears in Tosis. Tosis says if the food that you're cooking does not have Tzuras HaPas, you're not Mafrish Challah. And the Gemara says, Beferish Vakeret, despite the fact that it's lacking Tzuras HaPas, and therefore you don't say Hamotzi, you say Mizoinus, but it is Chayv and Challah. So the answer is they're talking about, they're using the term Tzuras HaPas with two different meanings. Tosis means it has to be in a loaf shape. If it's liquidy, or some if it's Wheaties, what are you going to call? They're going to call the weedy flakes. They're going to call Motzi Lechem and Arts. How does it have a shame Lechem? It's Bechlal, nothing to do with Lechem. So an oatmeal cereal, something that was very liquidy, wheatina farina, something like that, it's never going to be Hamotzi and it's never going to be Chayv and Challah. It doesn't have a shame Lechem at all. That's lacking at Tzuras HaPas on the level of their Deraisa. But if you have a loaf shape and it does have a Tzuras HaPas, and in Atarah it's all called Lechem. All this stuff is called Lechem. Some of it is called lechem, bread, and some of it is called pas abobikistan. Pas is the same as lechem, bread. So some of it you call outright bread, and some of it is called pas abobikistan, bread that's eaten as a snack. So if you eat it as a snack, you have a little slice of cake, then it's bar minim zaynus and alamichya, and non atzilus yadayim is needed. If you eat a ton of cake, if you eat enough of the cake, then the pas abobikistan is elevated to the level of lechem. So pas abobikistan is the same color called pas. It's lechem anyway. So then again, to these three distinctions, the rabbanon, the hainu, and the tilos adayim, and hamotzi versus bar minim zaynus and birchas hamozen versus alamichya. So if you kaveh suda on it, then the fact that it has a Surah Sapasa has the shape of a loaf, accomplishes that. Now I say Hamotziyana. Now you have to wash and you have to recite Duch Samoz. So the Pashtus is that there are two different concepts of Surah Sapasa. It is this Taisus and Brachas, where they quote the Rabbi and Tam, they had an apparent contradiction between the various Mishnayos and Gemaras. Some Mishnayos seem to indicate that the Chiyuv Kala sets in after Lisha, when you just mix the flour with the water. The other Gemara seems to indicate, this Gemara says, only after you bake it. Afor, you have Mishnayos like that, and Gemaras like that, and Tzachim only when you bake it. Why only when you bake it? So Rabbi and Tam came up with this fantastic interpretation, of which we don't accept. La'aloch, the Mechaber mentions it, and then he says, but we don't accept it, we follow the Ramban's opinion, both by Amoitzi, in Hilchas Bichas Hanen, and as well as in Yeridei, in Hilchas HaFroshes Kalo. So Rabbi and Tam came up with his idea that in order to be considered lechem, you certainly need cooking it. If you're going to eat, if you're going to mix flour with water and eat it in a raw state before you cook it, before you bake it, that for sure is not going to be hamotzi. Probably won't even be bar minim zaynus either. That's not normal to eat the raw dough. It's going to be shahakol. So it's not normal. So hamotzi for sure it's not going to be. So the Rabbi and Tam says this, certainly you have to cook it or bake it in order to make it roi lachilu. Do you have to bake it, or is it good enough if you cook it in liquid? So Rabbi and Tam said, to answer the apparent contradiction between the various Gemaras, if you had a blila over, if you had a lisha that's a blila over, then it's good enough if you cook it later. It'll already have a shein lechem, so then you chay mechala right after lisha. But if it's a blila raka, there was no lisha, then you have to have dafken afir. If you're going to have a bisha later, it won't be chay mechala. So the Tosfos quotes, so the Rabbi Natam says it with respect to challah as well as with respect to hamotzi. That the same is true. If you had a blila over, even though later on you do a bishul, you don't do an afiyah, it'll be chai b'challah and it'll be hamotzi. So Tosfos uses a French or a German word to describe noodles. It says in the back in Hamatargeim that word means noodles. So he said, according to Rabbi Natam, the bracha noodles will be hamotzi. Why? Because noodles are made with a blila ova in the factory. And they make these noodles, they do a blila ova, and then we do a bishul on it. We don't do an afiyah. And even if you do an afiyah later, the afiyah is done after we've already done the bishul and all the noodles are roi l'achila already. Then you take all the noodles and you put in cheese and you put in tomato sauce or you put in ketchup, whatever, and you make a pizza out of it or you make whatever you call it. What do you call it? Lasagna, okay, make lasagna out of it. So the baking isn't in order to make it roi l'achila. It already was roi l'achila. The baking gives it a certain flavor, but the thing that made it edible was the bishul. So the way we pass in l'alocha, like the Ramban, if it had a bishul, it's never chai m'chala. And it's never going to be hamotzi. It has to have an afiyah. But according to Rabbi Natam, he says that if it had a bishul, it'll still be, if it had a bli lov, and then later on has a bishul, so it's going to be hamotzi. So according to Rabbi Natam, a noodles, he would say hamotzi. But that's very strange. That's very strange. Noodles are hamotzi. Mamisha doesn't have a tzuras hapas at all. Taisus seems to explain there are two aspects of tzuras hapas. One din tzuras hapas that makes it hamotzi versus bar minim zaynus. Then there's another din of tzuras hapas that has to have a loaf shape. What? Noodles, even spaghetti for sure doesn't have a loaf shape. Noodles. That's enough of a loaf shape to say, hamotzi on that. What shayach hamotzi? What shayach even afrashas challah? It doesn't have at all the tzuras hapas. Very strange. I remember once Rabbi Soloveitchik was learning this in Shia. He was learning this topic. And he was learning the Tosfos. So one of the... But I was in the Shia, so no one spoke up at all. None of the students spoke up. It was only Rabbi Soloveitchik spoke. And the later years, when Rabbi Soloveitchik was old, so the students were helping him out a little bit. So I remember on one occasion, he was learning that Tosfos. So one of the students said, he mentioned that according to this Tosfos, because he heard one of the Rabbanim said it like that, that there's a Safek Hamotzi on spaghetti. One of the Rabbanim in the yeshiva said at that time that he personally has a chumrah that he only eats spaghetti in the middle of a meal, because according to Rabbi Natam, the spaghetti would be Hamotzi. We don't fast like Rabbi Natam says, machmer only if he eats spaghetti in the middle of the meal. I don't know if Rabbi Natam says on spaghetti or only on noodles. Noodles could be more of a tzuras hapas. So remember at that time Rabbi Soloveitchik said, what? Spaghetti is a suffix. I want you off your mind. He started to scream. But that's what it says in Tosfos. Takat pelet in a Tosfos. It says in Brachos. Some and a bracha, they use a German word or a French word, and that word means noodles, and they say, according to Rabbi Natam, the noodles are hamoitzi. How can it be? If the noodles are the way we make noodles, it doesn't make sense. Even with the whole Rabbi Natam put together, it still doesn't make sense. There's mamish not tzura sapas. How can you be? There's no loaf shape. It shouldn't even be chai b'chalam. Loimi boy doesn't have the tzura sapas to say hamoitzi on. It doesn't even have a tzura sapas to be chai b'chalam. That's very strange. The Gemara towards the bottom of Vav and Beis says that when the Dayanim are judging a case, they should they should realize how serious the matter is, because the pasuk says Yom Dushnei Hanashem Hashelohem Harif Lifnei Hashem. They should realize that the Din Torah is taking place in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yihu HaDayanim Yodim Lifnei Mihem Danim. They should know in the presence of whom this Din Torah is being held, means in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Shabbos in the first parak picks up on this theme and says that the practice used to be, and it should be, it's supposed to be, that the Dayanim should sit batifo when they have a Din Torah out of respect for the Shechina, out of Kavod HaShechina. If there are bona fide Dayanim who claim to paskin an authentic Din Torah, if they're a bunch of crooks, fakers, ganovim, who claim to do Ibis HaDin, so then the Shechina is not going to be there. So then they don't need atifa. They don't have to have atifa out of respect for the Shechina. The Shechina won't be there. But if the honest to goodness Dayanim who claim to make a real honest to goodness Din Torah, so then the Gemara says the Dayanim is supposed to sit batifa. Atifa means that either you wear the talus over your head or you wear a hat. So when this is quoted in Choshe Mishpat that the Dayanim should sit batifa out of Kavod HaShechina, the Pesachet Tshuva on the bottom of the page quotes from the Shalah that what it means is that you should wear a hat. The Dayanim should wear a hat when they have a Din Torah, like we do when we daven Mincha Maira. Obviously, when they daven Shacharis, they didn't wear a hat, they wore the talus over there. So when they daven Mincha Maira, they used to wear a hat as Atifa. Tzila Liyani Kiyatav, they wore a hat for Shmon Esrei. So the Shalom says, when you have a Din Torah, the Dayanim should sit Atifa, means they should wear a hat. So this is out of respect for the Shechina. That's the Gemara in the first Perek and Shabbos that's quoted in the Choshe Mishpat. Then the Gemara says, Shema Yoyma Hadayon, 4 lines from the bottom. A person may think, Mali Batsar has that. What do I have to get involved in a Din Torah for? I may make a mistake and it's going to be held against me, that the Min HaShamayim, they're going to punish me. So the Talmud Lama, the Imchim, is Vara Mishpat, Ein Lala Dain Ala Mashayin of Royas. The Dain should paskin according to what he understands the Din should be. How does Rashi say? Shuv Lo Yeyon, she will not be punished. So Shulchan Aruch, what it says is, let's say there's a suffix in din, and the dayan doesn't really have the ferish arayas, what the din is. He has a slight natiyas adat. He thinks the din is probably this way. You can see when there's a suffix as to what the din is. When there's a suffix what the facts are, so try to be mavar more about the facts. So you know what the facts are. There's no contradiction between the two parties as far as what the facts are. There's a shaila what the din is. So the Shulchan Aruch says that even if the dayan only has a slight and tiyas hadas and he doesn't really have any rice at all, so the din is he's permitted to paskin based on a slight and tiyas hadas. That's included in this halacha. Bein lo ladayan ala masha ein avrot, according to what he understands at the time that he's paskining. Gemara has later on Dav Zayin on the base, 5 lines from the bottom, it says, "Shvat the temtzeri penisha beinoch v'ben geiro." Amrei shlokish tzadeka sadin behakach chatchehu. What does that mean? Tzadeka sadin, justify the din. Let me justify the din. So the Rashash has a fascinating interpretation on this Gemara. Tzadeka sadin. Let's say you have a din Torah and you ask a lot of questions and you get the scenario, you understand the picture of the case, then you look in Shulchan Aruch, is a beferish sif in Shulchan Aruch that describes exactly this case. If Reuben says this and Shimon says that, the din is this. It says beferish what the din is. But you personally have a kasha on that sif in Shulchan Aruch, that this sif seems to contradict the Gemara, seems to contradict another sif in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara meant to say you have no right to paskin. Why don't you just say, well, your case is covered here, it says the Beferish in the Shulchan Aruch. So that's what the Gemara says, not allowed to do that. First, you have to justify the din. Sadeka sadin. You think that it's a shvera halacha, so you have no right to paskin based on the deferish din and the gemara, the shulchan aruch. Because then, after you're going to figure out what the answer is to this theory, that may come out that this din, this shvera din, only applies under such a circumstance. Maybe it doesn't apply in your case. You can't just apply the psak because it seems to be exactly daima b'daima. First, you have to justify for the kasha that you have against it. That's how the Rashash interprets on this Gemara. So I saw there's a Sefer Ben Yehoyada, and I got this in the Gemara. Usually has Rashi Tevis and Gematrios and all kinds of things, Kabbalah, which I don't begin to understand at all. And this Gemara has a very down to earth pshat. So he says, if the Dayan has a slight Natiyas Adas, he has a Svar. He thinks the din should be so based on a Svar. So he says the Gemara is recommending you shouldn't paskin based on a svara alone. First, tzadek es hadin. Try to find a source in the Amokar and Chumash, or Amokar in the Gemara that covers this din. Shouldn't just say mitzad asvar. If you can, then halacha sets in over here. If he has to paskin based on svara, he researches and he can't find any source that should indicate the fairies that the din in this case should be like he thinks. He can't find any source. So the last resort, Allah says, Mashayna Brayas, you pass them based on Svar. And here, Esh Lakish on the bottom of Zainan base is recommending, whenever possible, Tzadek is Adin, you hold the Svar, to justify your Svar by finding a Mokar in a Gemara or Mishnah. Find a Mokar first, then pass them. Don't pass them based on a Svar alone whenever you can avoid it. If you can't avoid it, you can't. So you sometimes, very often you do paskin based on a svar. Then the Gemara quoted, we discussed yesterday, the Gemara quoted the various pitgamim, the folks' expressions that the people had, and the Amoraim thought that it must stem from the Selam Alakim that they have, or from the fact that the Malach teaches every Jewish baby Kala Terukula. It must be that there's a Mokar in Tanakh for these Pitgamim. So each one of the Amoraim found a source. So one of the Amoraim made an interesting comment. Huda Bikama of Yozil, one of the Balabatim had a saying, the Ozil mi Beidina, if a person left the Din Torah, he leaves the office of the Bezdin, and they just paskin against him, and they said they have to take the shirt off of his back. You never take the shirt off the guy's back. In the Ksuba, you write, Afin Maglim al Dalkasa, even if you take the shirt off my back. The din is that Masajin al-Bakar, you don't take the shirt off his back unless he has 100 other shirts. So you take 95 shirts and you leave him with 5 shirts. That's enough. He doesn't need 100 shirts. So even if they took Shokal Glima, even if they took the shirt off of his back, he should sing a tune, he should be happy as he walks on his way from the Bezin office home, or as he walks to the office. The Gemara says, why? It's a pasuk. Gam kala mazam kom yavu b'shol. So the Ben Yehoyada points out that usually that's not the case. He writes over here, Poshup Shad, very down to earth. He says, on this Gemara, usually that's not the case. Usually the person who lost the Din Torah is going to be swearing and cursing and angry, and the dying is an idiot, and he didn't listen, he didn't pay attention, didn't spend enough time to understand the case. If he would have spent more time, he would have understood that I was right. He wouldn't have made me pay. So that's usually the case. Usually, 99% of the time, 100% of the time. Even when Rabbanim lose, maybe only when Rabbanim lose, whoever loses thinks that the Dayan must have made a terrible mistake. So that's what the Amora says. That's not the correct attitude that one should have. Whoever lost the Din Torah, lo mi boy, the one who wins the Din Torah should be singing a tune and skipping along as he's walking out in the street from the Bezin office. But even the one who lost, and they literally took the shirt off his back, he should be Lizma Zema Velezel. He should hop along and sing a tune and be happy over the fact that he's no longer in violation of Zela. He's not withholding the money that belonged to the other person. And Mark quotes all of the members, all of the Pidgamim that later on turned out to be based on Sukkim in Tanakh, that had a source in Tanakh. Here the Gemara speaks about Dain Hadon Dinemis Lamito Nas. The Gemara has in Shabbos Nas Shutaf LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereishis. Why? For the tour in the very opening Simon, And by Shemishpat, close to Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, Ashlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Kayim, Alo Emes V'aladin V'alashalom. Ashlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Oymed, Alo Tera V'alavedu Agnilas Chasam means what is the goal of the Bria? What are the three main things? Why did the Baruch Shalom create the world? So it says, Alo Tera V'alavedu Agnilas Chasam. These are the three things that are the tachlis of the Bria. But then there's another Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Pirkei Avos. Ashlosh Dvarim Ha'olam Kayom. It means that, technically speaking, the world cannot exist without the following three things. True, the goal, no contradiction. The goal of the creation is Torah v'avodah gemilas chasadim. But in order that the world should not explode, you have to have emes, a little bit of emes somewhere. A lot of sheker going around. If you don't have any emes, everyone's going to be full of sheker. The world won't have a kiyum at all. Halo shlosh ram horam kayam. You have to have emes and din in shalom. So since din, justice, is one of the amudim of the world, it preserves the world, so that's why the Gemara says in Shabbos that Yud Amiral is called Dayan Hadon Direm Islamitoy Nasa Shutav Lakodesh Bocha B'maisa Bereshis, because the Baruch Shalom created the world. If you're not going to have these three things, then it's Dinah Shalom, the world is going to collapse. So the Dayan Hadon Direm Islamitoy is taking care of the Din. Taisus there has the famous comment, why does it say Don Direm Islamitoy? It's redundant. Dayan Adon Din Emes, as the first word Din Sheker, or it's an Emes Lamito, a true psak to the truth. I mean, a true psak to the truth. If it's true, it's true. What I mean, Emes Lamito. The Taisa says like this. This happens all the time. It says like this. Based on the tainus that Reuven has and Shimon has, you look in Shulchan Aruch and it says that that's the Din. Din is X, Y, Z, whatever. But the Dayan knows that there's something very fishy over here. The whole story doesn't make any sense. He's supposed to search some more. He shouldn't just say, he says Kula Shalim. He says Chetzi Shalim. So the Mishnah says there's three quarters and one quarter, and each one swears and shines. So you got to ask a lot more questions to try to get to the basis of the whole story, to try to figure out more about the facts of the case. That's called Don Dinemis. Dinemis means based on the timeless, and based on what it says in Shulchan Aruch, right? That's the good. And Dinemis Lamita means that you don't just go according to the books. You research some more, not into the halacha, you research some more the facts of the case in order to ascertain maybe they're both lying, maybe one is lying. So a dayan should always try to be done din emes lamita, not just a din emes according to the psak, according to the tainus that they presented, that's what the din emes. You should try to dig deeper to find out what the truth really is. Like they say, there are always three sides to the story, his side and his side, and the truth. So you should discover what the truth is. Then we mentioned the Gemara says in Shabbos on that daf, in the first parak in Shabbos, that one might have thought that learning Torah, that's a way to bring Shechina, to be Mashu Shechina B'Yisrael, because the Torah represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But to give a psak on a din Torah, if there's a dispute in Din Amonis between two parties, that the Dayan give a psak, one would have thought that it's only Shlomo Balma, just in order to keep law and order. So the Gemara says, no. That's what the Avner Nezer writes, and it's true. That's why the Mishpat HaMelech. When the Melech, there's a Melech and Mishpat Yamed Eretz. The Gemara on Zayin on the base, quote such a pasuk. Melech and Mishpat Yamed Eretz, Vish Trumas Yahar Senu. Is that pasuk in Mishlei chapter Chav Tes. So the function of the Melech, the government, Melech, the Melech has to judge and the Bezdin has to judge. So the Drosha Saran is the whole Drosha. What is the difference between Mishpat HaMelech and Mishpat HaDayon, Mishpat HaTorah? So the Avnei Nezer has a long essay about this. It's a Kuntres, Sheish Madas Lakise, a rabbi. It's at the end of Second Chelik Yeridei. A rabbi in Europe died in a little community, and then the Shaila was who should Yarshin his Rabbanus, whether his son or his son-in-law. They were both qualified, they were both learned. I think the Balabatim like the son-in-law a little bit better than they like the son. So this is a very long tshuva. The other tshuvas don't have any titles, just tshuva, aleph, beis, gimel, dal. Just go with numbers. And this tshuva has a title, Sheish Milus Lakisei. The throne of Shlomo HaMelech had six steps in order to walk up. So he says, he divides up the tshuva to the six parts. There are six hurdles that have to be overcome before someone has the right to yarshin this Yerusha, this Kisei HaRabbanus. The first unit, the first six of the tshuva, is about the topic, is the Yerushan Rabbanus at all? Maybe there's only Yerushan Malchus, no Yerushan Rabbanus. And then if there is Yerushan Rabbanus, how can it go to a son-in-law? what, the daughter should become the rabbi. How can it go through the daughter to the son-in-law if the daughter is not qualified? A daughter can become the rabbi. And he broke down his tshuva to six parts. And that tshuva, he has a long arichas about the difference between the mishpat ha-melech and the mishpat ha-bezdin. And he quotes a lot from the Drosha Saran. So this is one of the themes that he brings out based on that Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yudam and Aleph. The Gemara says, Ma'u detayme, that it encourages only Shlomo Balma just in order to keep peace and law and order. Kamash v'lon, no, that it's something more than that. That Dayan Hadon, that Islamit, the Vam Nuskine, Shetisha, Mash v'shchine b'Yisrael. So he says, the Mishpat HaMelech is only Shlomo Balma. The king, the government has an obligation to maintain law and order. So that's why they have to have chukim and mishpatim, legal principles to maintain law and order. But the dini haTorah are not for the purpose of shlomo b'alma. Dini haTorah are for the purpose of to be mashu shchina b'yisro. Because all the laws of the Torah are a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's if they'll paskin according to the laws of the Torah, that'll be mashu shchina b'yisro. So that expression, ma'u detayme shlomo b'alma, that's in Shabbos Daf Yud. But it more talks about Dain Havdon the Rem Islamita. Then the Gemara has later six lines from the bottom. Called Dain Shanoitl Mizem Nasal Mizesh Lakidin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk in Mishlei says of that Dain, Al Tigzal Dal Kidalhu. Al Tadak Yonah Bashiach Hashem Yorav Yivram. The Kovas Kaveim Novish. Al Tigzal Dal Kidalhu. The Gemara considers that Gezel. When I steal money from one person, I give it to the other person. Usually we think of gezel, I steal money and I keep it for myself. But if I say, let's say there is a Tosfos in Perek HaKoines, in the sixth Perek in Bava Kamma, in the beginning of the sixth Perek in Bava Kamma, where the Tosfos quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Let's say you have a farm and you have all of your animals in a corral, in a building, in a what do you call it?
Stable.
You have your horses in a stable, and the door is locked so that the horses won't run away. And I break open the door, and I let all the horses run loose because I want to be mopsed you, the horses. So Taisa says that's not called Zela, that's called Mazik, maybe Grumma, but that's not called Zela. Zela is when I steal it, planning to take it for myself. But if I want, Gamli Gam Lach Lo Yeh, I just want to be mopsed you, you shouldn't have, but I'm not interested in having it either. That's a different topic. The Gazlan does not acquire a kinyan zela. He may or may not be chayv mitam moram amazik, because opening the gate implies right away the behemoth is going to run away. So that may be considered moram amazik on the paper, but you can't say I have a kinyan zela. So the question is, what if I steal money from somebody, not a daita that I'm going to take it? I steal from one and I give it to someone else. Robin Hood steals from the rich and he gives to the poor. Or the Dayan here, by mistake, Paskin, that Reuven has to pay Shimon $100, says, give me the money right now. The Dayan stretches out his hand. So Reuven is a religious Jew. He listens to the rabbi, gives the rabbi $100. The rabbi hands it over to Shimon. So the Gemara says, Al Tigzol Dal. That's called an act of Zela. That's a Chiddush, that's Zela. Even though he's not stealing Al Daita to keep it, he's stealing Al Das to give it to someone else. If a person is going as Al Manasla Abbe, then the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says, in Akainis, that's not called Zayt. But if he's going naive, Almanas, to give to someone else, that is called, that is considered Zayt. Here, the Taisus is on the top of Nun Bavam and Beis, in Perak Akainis and Babakam. So the first line in Taisus writes, Behotziyuha legoz lo airi masnisin kinimuki lo b'Yerushalmi. If your animals were in a corral or in a stable, and I open up the door and I enable them to run away, not almanas legoizel, not almanas to take it for myself, just in order to let the animals run away, then the Yerushalmi says there's no kinyan zeil. Only if it's hotziyuha legoizel. The argument is really a chiddush that the one who steals from one and gives to another one, even though it's not almanas legoizel for himself, it's almanas legoizel for the to the other party, it's also called Zela. He's giving it to someone else. There is a Mishnah in Bava Kamma, an ayin test on the day. Mishnah talks about Hayan Moshko v'yotze yomeis b'shus habayl. Here the Mishnah is like this: Nesana lebechor is beno or lebalchov. If I have to give pidyon haben, let's say I have a behemoth that I have to give 5 shkolim for pidyon haben. You don't have to give that to cash, you can give shavah kesef also. I have a behemoth that's worth 5 shkolim. So I give this behemoth to the kohen, and I say, we say the bracha, showing we have the party, all finished, and then the behemoth drops dead and it's worthless. So do I have to do pidyon haben again? No, I already gave the pidyon haben. I'm not chai b'achrayis forever. Once the kohen got the money, so finished. Or the same thing, let's say I had borrowed 5 shkolim, I borrowed 100 shkolim from you and have to pay back. I have a behemoth that's worth 100 shkolim. So I take the behemoth, I give it to you, I say, this is the debt that I owe you, 100 shkolim, shine fine. You say, piro, and finished. Then the behemoth drops dead later on. If it turns out that I gave you an animal that was in the middle of a heart attack or something, so that's the igloy milsum afred, that it didn't have the shavis of 100 shkolim. But if it doesn't seem that it was a sick animal at the time that I gave it, all of a sudden it took sick afterwards and it died. So if I found the malva loses, the loiva paid up his debt at the time that the loiva gave it, it was worth 100 shloim, and then it died later, so the malva loses. So that's the mishnah. When is it considered that you yotze the pidyon haben? When is it considered that you already made the piron achov? When do you say no? He's about to do. What if the behemoth dies before I did the pidyon haben? I'm about to give the kohen an animal which is worth 5 shloim, and the animal dies before I give it to him. So I never gave it. So I still didn't do the pidyon haben. But I designated this animal. I set it aside from yesterday, and I put a blue ribbon. What's the difference? But if I didn't give it to the kohen, it died before I gave it. I planned to make the piron achov with this behemoth that's worth 100 shloim. I planned to, but I didn't do it yet. Because, man, you didn't do it. So if the animal dies, so the hefsid is to the loive and to the avi haben, and he has to pay again the choiv, and the father has to give again the pidyon haben. So that's the mishnah. Nesana lebechoris beno, or the balchov, if the father gave this behemoth for pidyon haben purposes, or a man gave this behemoth for a piron achov, and v'hayomoshna v'yotzei for meis, and the kohen is walking out with the behemoth from my rishus, behemoth is walking on its own feet. And I give it to the kohen is walking out with the behemoth. So if the behemoth drops dead before the kohen leaves my house, so the kohen wasn't kohen yet. He didn't do a habor. He didn't finish the mashiach yet. Mashiach is not kohen b'rishus ha-moicher. Called man, the animal is still in my rishus. It's not kohen b'mashiach. If the kohen takes the animal, he walks off with the animal, he made a mashiach outside of my rishus, then it constitutes a mashiach. And then it's considered that the pidyon haben has been taken care of already, and if the animal dies then amazed, then the father doesn't have to give pidyon haben a second time. Or if I pay, the loiva paid the malva the 100 zuz, the 100 shkolim that he owes, am I giving him an animal's worth 100 shkolim, and the malva is walking out with the animal from his farm, from his barn, and before he had a chance to walk off with the animal drops dead in the rishus of the loiva, who was about to pay up the chayv. So it comes out he didn't pay yet. That's the mishnah. So if the behemoth dies b'shus habaylim, so then he has to do the pidyon haben again. He has to make the piron achov again. If chutz l'shus habaylim, shotzim b'shus habaylim amaze, then the chov is parur. So the rishonim have two pshatim here on this mishnah. This mishnah is in the middle of Perek Merubah. The whole Perek Merubah is talking about Ganovim, when the guy has 5 ketel, dalav hay. So what do you stick in this din about pidyon haben? For what moment of time on are you yotze pidyon haben? And for what moment of time is it considered that the chov is parua after he takes it out? So the pashat pshat, you can say that it's agav the other din. The mishnah is talking about a ganov who's stealing a behemah, v'shus hanigna, v'shoyim oshel yotze meis. If the ganav is in the process of stealing the behemoth, if the animal gets a heart attack before the ganav walked off with the animal, he got a heart attack in the rishus hanignav, so the ganav never made the kinyan geneva yet. He was preparing to do a geneva, but halachically the geneva is not completed until you have a kinyan hagbor. Either he does hagbor rishus hanignav, or he walks off with the behemoth outside of the rishus hanignav. He does mashiach outside of the rishus hanignav. So the mishnah is saying that this din by pidyon haben and by piron achov is the same as the din by ganav, but But this din of Nisar al-Bchor is not, this is not talking about a gun. This is talking about Pidyon Aben. It's talking about Piron Achor. And then, the Rambam learns the other pshat in the Mishnah. Rashi and Tosfos already have the both pshat. Tosfos tilpels the first pshat in Rashi, the second pshat in Rashi. So the Rambam has the other pshat that Rashi quotes. By Moshe B'Yotzei Meis is talking like this. A man makes believe that he has, my wife had a baby boy and I have to do a pidyon aben. But I'm a crook. I don't want to give 5 shloim to the kohen. It costs money. I always do things with other people's money. But I don't want to dirty my hands by stealing the behemoth from the other guy. So I invite the kohen to come to my home. We're going to make the pidyon aben. I better give him the address of my next door neighbor. So he comes to the neighbor's home and I say, see this behemoth? This behemoth is worth 5 shloim. Yeah, it's all yours. Take it away. And the kohen walks off with the behemoth. So the kohen is doing the geneva. So the Mishnah is not talking about whether the... Is it considered an act of geneva or not? Depends if the one would have been yotzei pidyon aben with them. So the Mishnah says if the kohen walks off with the behemoth, hagnuvo, that didn't belong to the avi aben, this avi aben is aganef, but he didn't do the geneva himself. He got the kohen to do the dirty work for him. So normally we say, ein shaliach ledvar aveira, and here we say that it's yeshaliach ledvar aveira. Why do you say here, yeshaliach ledvar aveira? So Tosfos says, because the ganef is b'shege. When they say, ein shaliach ledvar aveira, Tosfos gives the whole argument. Ein shaliach ledvar aveira is based on the svara dibra rabbi, dibra talmud, dibra mishomen. I want to rob a bank. I'm afraid I may get caught. I don't want to rob a bank. So I tell you, I'm going to pay you $1,000. You rob the bank for me. So I made you a shaliach. What do you mean I made you a shaliach? But you understand on your own, it's against the law to rob the bank. How can you say, later on they're going to catch you, so you're going to say, you're innocent, you're just doing the work for me? Like the Nazis, they said they're just doing, that were their instructions for the government, that they should kill all these millions of people. So that's an argument. The government gave instructions, you understand on your own, you're not allowed to do that. You can't patter yourself by saying, I'm innocent, I'm not responsible. Those are the orders that were given to me. If you know on your own, you're not supposed to listen to such orders. So that's what the Gemara says, Dibra Rabbi, Dibra Talmud, Dibra Mishomen. That's a secular law also. There's no Shaliach Lidvara there because the guy knows that he's not supposed to take such instructions to rob a bank. And Fashtek Talen is not allowed to rob a bank. So you can't consider him a Shliach for me. So Tosfos says, Bamed Var Mamurim, if the Shliach is violating that there, the Mazin. So he knows that he's doing something wrong, and he knows he doesn't have the right to act on my behalf as a shliach for me. But what if he thought that I'm the owner of the behemoth, and I'm the father of the baby, and I tell him, take my behemoth. I invited him to come to the pidyon aben. We have a whole party. My next door neighbor is in Eretz Yisrael now for a month. So I made the party in my next door neighbor's yard, and I give him the next door neighbor's behemoth. The kohen doesn't know that that's the neighbor's house. He thought it's my house. So since the kohen is b'shoigek, so when he walks off with the behemoth, we say yesh aliyach lidvar avera, and the ganef becomes mechuyev, and the ganef becomes mechuyev to pay the kefal over here. The ganef becomes mechuyev to pay the kefal. Aye, but the ganef doesn't. The ganef isn't stealing the behemoth. The kohen walks off with the behemoth. So you see over there also it would appear that if I steal a behemoth and I give it to someone else, even though I'm not taking it for myself, that's also called geneva. It's not 100% proof, because I'm saving myself the 5 shloim. The ganef is not paying. And the same thing, the son of the b'chor is b'na, or the balchov. I owe you $100, and instead of me paying the money from my pocket, from my bank account, I give you a behemoth for the next door neighbor that's worth $100, and I say, here's the payment. So I'm stealing the behemoth in order to save $5 for myself, or to save $100 for myself. The bottom line, you could say that's the same as a normal geneva. It's not the irregular geneva. It's not a geneva where he's stealing a daita to give it to someone else. He's giving it to someone else in order to save himself the $5 or the $100. Anyway, but Agimara has that fish. Al tigzol dal kidalhu, that it constitutes gzele if I take the mammon and I give it to someone else. When I took the mamon mevachatzilu, my intention was to give it to someone else. I wasn't going to take it for myself. So the Gemara says that too is gezeila. Yeah, what's taka the din of a ganef b'shegeg here? The dayan is a ganef b'shegeg. The two chidushim here in Agamara. Chidush number one, that the dayan is not stealing for himself. The dayan is stealing from the one person and giving it to the other person. So that's chidush number one, that's also called zayin. Even though he's not stealing for himself, and it's not like pursua listim amanos la'abdo. Not like breaking open the door to the stable and having the animals run loose, run free. No, it's like pursua listim amanos la'goizlo. Here it's I'll ask to give it to someone else. So that's chidush number one, that's zayla. And chidush number two, that even though it's zayla b'shegeg, it's also called zayla. I thought that he's really entitled to it. I thought the din is that he owes him $100. That's why I made him pay the $100. It's also chidush that a gazlan b'shegeg is considered a gazlan. You could have argued the point and said, if I thought that he's entitled to the money, so the chlal is not called zayla. If I thought that it's in, so why should that be called zayla? What issue depends on a munchen? Whether he has to shell out from his pocket, whether he has to pay. Yeah, that's one thing, yeah. Whether he has to pay. We had a tesis on the top of Lamed Gimel on the days. Tesis pointed out there, if the dime was not someone else in the yard, then it's mamish gazlan. If the dime wasn't not someone else in the yard, but he passed him, you have to pay him. And the balabos pays alpit zigoy harav because he listens to the psak. So then the dayim is chayiv to make good midina degami. That's considered dina degami. Why is it dina degami? Because he knows the balabos has to listen to him. When is it groma? When is it gami? That's a big topic that all the rishonim discuss on Shulchan Aruch. They follow the Tosis Shita and Baba Basra and Baba Kama. Tosis writes that in our Torah, it's all the same thing. Groma gami is the same thing. You potter on both. Rabbam and Ezekin Potem, Gami is also Potem, and Atah is only Chayv Midir Rabbanon. And when do we declare it as Gami that it's Chayv Midir Rabbanon? So Tosis says, if the Hefsid occurs Miyad, and it's Bari Hazeka. If you have those two conditions, if the Hefsid occurs Miyad, and it's Bari Hazeka. The secular law here in America, they have these two conditions are necessary. If you incite a riot, then it's punishable, they can put you in jail. So if I get up in the middle of Harlem and I start screaming about the whites and a whole drusha, and then right away after a guy gives the whole drusha, then they go and they burn down a car somewhere, or they make a hezek because I wound them up, I riled them up. So that's miyad, and it's bari hazeka. If the people who were watching saw that I was making such a tumult, and it was obvious that they were going to make a hezek, so that's called inciting a riot. But if I held a drusha, let's say a Rebbe and Yeshiva held a drosh about the Dinam of Reuters. And then 5 years later, a guy goes and he shoots Rabin. So that's inciting a riot. He gave a shear. His learning Gemara gave a shear. He make all kinds of comments. So that in secular law, that's not called inciting a riot. In halacha, that's called Rama Menezik. That's not called Gami. Exactly, these two klolim that the Supreme Court passed in America years ago has to be Miyad and has to be Bori Hazeka. So that's what Tosfos says in a few places. That's the key to determine whether it's Garmi or it's Grama. If it's Garmi, then you chayv midirabon. If it's Grama, then you potarish midirabon. So why is it Garmi over here? The dayan paskin that you have to pay. Why is it Garmi? Because we assume that religious Jews are going to listen to the psak of the rabbi. Sounds a little humorous. The rabbi says, yes, the pesach is going to run to pay right away. It's going to be Bori Hazeka and it's going to be Miyad. It's going to pay right away because the rabbi gives up. I don't know, in our generation, if that would be a garment. But in the days of the Gemara, they consider it a garment. So Tosfos here has a kasha on this Gemara. Tosfos claims the garment is only a knas midirabon. It's not chayv min hater. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban's opinion is garment is chayv min hater. So one nafkamina ludina between Tosfos and Ramban is, what's the halacha of garment bishogeg? Odom would li'olam be mishogeg be memezer. That's a mission at the end of the second parakim Bava Kama. So that's when he's a lot of mazik on the level of the right. So what if the man is only mazik midina de garmi? So Tosfos' opinion is the garmi is only a knas midirabonon. It's not a chiyuv min haTorah. And the Gemara has an expression in other places: lo kontzu shogeg otomezi. The rabbis didn't penalize if the guy did something wrong to shogeg, only if he does the mitzvah. So Tosfos applies that klal to the case of garmi also. Since garmi is only a knas mederabanan, the Tosfos applies two klovim. This one klal, this is a whole sugi in Perek HaNezokin. Two blat gemara. When do you yes say, when do you not say? Konsu shogot the mitzvah, when do you say lo konsu shogot the mitzvah? So very often we say lo konsu. Some we have exceptions to the rule. So we really pass the law concept show got the maze. We only penalize the guy if he did it the maze and not if he did it b'shoeg. So that's what Taisa says. Gami is only chai b'maze and b'shoeg. And Taisa has another. There's another gemara in Moed Katan. Moed Katan has all the dinim of chalamoid. Which malachas are allowed to do on chalamoid, which malachas are not allowed to do. So let that person waters his field on chalamoid b'issim. He wasn't allowed to do it. So the Gemara says there's a penalty since he violated Melechus Chalamoid. He's not allowed to be mena from the pears that are going to grow. If it wouldn't have grown, if not for the fact that he did the Melech and Chalamoid, if he's not going to do the Melech and Chalamoid, he's going to suffer a hefsid, then it's Dava Havi. So we have sometimes that's mutter. But let's say a case where it's not a Dava Havi, he really should not have done the Melech. He had no heter to do the Melech and Chalamoid. He should have waited till after Chalamoid. And he went and he did the Melech and Chalamoid, and that's why the pears grew. So the Gemara says there's a penalty. He's not allowed to get Hanoah from the Paris. What if the one who violated the Melechus Chalamoy dies, and now his children Yarshin all of the property of the father? So do you say the penalty even applies to the children, that the children are not allowed to eat the Paris? So the Gemara Moed Katan has a discussion. The conclusion is Lo Konsu B'no Achara. The penalty is only for the Chote, for the Bal Aveira, and they didn't penalize the children. If the father died, and now the children are faced with this situation, so the halacha says they're permitted to get hanoah up in the Paris that group because lo konsu b'no achara, the only concept him. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this part of Tosfos, we don't have it ready. Shulchan Aruch quotes this from the Ramban. Ramban quotes this part of Tosfos. But according to Tosfos Shita, the Garmi is only a penalty to the Rabbanon. Not only would Tosfos say what we have in Tosfos on the first daf in Baba Basra, the Garmi b'shoegig is pater. That we have over here also, Lama Gimel on Beis Gamli B'Shogeg is Pater, but Tosfos says also, Lo Konsu B'no Achrov. If the one who did the Hezek Al Yidei Gamli dies, then we don't make, and even though he left Karka, and the children, the Yarshim, have to pay up all the debts of the father, because the Nechlem Achrayis Nechasim, the father left Karka. So Dina de Gamli, you don't collect after death, because it's only a penalty with the Rabbanon, and Lo Konsu B'no Achrov. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That Lo Konsu B'no Achrov. So here Tosfos has a kasha. If the dying was Nosem and Osem B'yad, then it's Mamish Gazlo. Mamish. Al Tivzol Dal Ki Dal. If the dying was Loi Nosem and Osem B'yad, then it's only dying is only Chai Mitam Dina Gami. Dina Gami Tosfos Shita is only a penalty Midi Rabbana. Since it's only a penalty, Aknas, or this Asvar Nosenes, then Lo Konsu Shog got amazed. So Gami is only Chai B'mezid. Not the Shogeg, so Tosfos, Frek Akasha, the top Tosfos, Lami Gimel and Beis, the Dayan Shetoo, Dayan made a mistake in Psak, and because of his error in Halacha, that's why he encouraged this Baldin to pay the money. So does the Docha Garmi be Shogeg? So why does the Mishnah say that the Dayan has to pay? Shouldn't I say that Garmi be Shogeg should be put? So Tosfos answers, the last three lines in Tosfos on Lam Gimel Beis V'Yesh Lima, the Mikomon Kam Chashiv Kamo Mezid. It's not a Mezid, but you can't really call it Shogeg. It's treated like a Mezid. It's considered like a Mezid. Treated Chashiv Kamo Mezid. Shehoi Lo Lachachon Ledaktik B'Hayra Asav Leida. He should have looked up the din. He should have been more careful. He's dealing with other people's property. He's dealing with Halacha. So he should have been more medaktik. So we consider him a Poshea. You don't need Dafke Mezid if he's a Poshea, so you also chai Medina de Gami. So the Tosfos says, Tosfos is discussing the din of Odom HaMazik. If you have a real Odom HaMazik, be a Dayim, who's chai Min HaTorah. So the Mishnah says, Beim Shogeg Ben Mezid. Odom Odli, Odom Beim Shogeg Ben Mezid, at the end of the second parak in Bava Kama. If he's Mazik, Medina de Gami, so the Shogeg is Takanat Chai. Only be mezid or be pshia. There has to be some pshia. If it's belief pshia at all, then you're not going to be mechayiv medina d'gamim. So what's over here in this gemara? We consider the dayan who paskin wrong. He took not on mizeh, but not on mizeh. He takes the money not on asam biyad. He takes the money from one Baal Din, gives it over to the other. He said, this is the din. You have to pay it over. So we consider him a gazlon. Even though it's b'shogeg. See, by Adam HaMazik, Tosfos said, Adam HaMazik is Adam HaDegalim Be'im Shogeg Be'im Amazik. And if it's Dina Degami, then if it would be b'shogeg, you wouldn't be chai. Either b'mezid or b'pshia, Chashiv kemo posheya shohoy lo ledaktek yosef. Chashiv kemo mezid. We treat it kemo mezid by the dayan shetoa. Hoy lo lechachon ledaktek b'hayros. It should have been more careful. Yeah, here we're not talking about mazik. Here we're talking about gazlan. So what's the din of a gazlan b'shoyge? Gazlan b'shoyge. He thought that's the din. So the Gemara says nonetheless, even though he thought that is the din, sorry, that's not the din. So you are considered a gazlan. He is considered a gazlan. See, there in that Mishnah, there's a machlokes harishonim. So there was one machlokes harishonim. What is the Mishnah talking about? So half of the rishonim say, we're discussing, is the father yotze pidyon haben, or does the father have to pay again? Is the loiva yotze the tashlumin the piran achov, or does the loiva have to pay again? If the animal got a heart attack before it left the rishus, the pigeon aben didn't take place yet. He's still in preparation for the pigeon aben. And the loiva didn't yet fulfill the piran achov. He didn't do the piran. He only designated where it's going to come from, but he didn't do the piran. If the animal gets a heart attack and dies after it left the rishus of the avi aben, so then the pigeon aben has set in already, and then the father doesn't have to do again. So that was the one shot in the mission. Then the other rishonim learned, Rashi quoted the two pshatim, and Rashi and Tez quoted the two pshatim. The other Rishonim said, no, we're not, where does Pidyon HaBen come in the middle of Merubah? No, we're talking about Aganas. If the Koyin does the dirty work for the Ganas, the Ganas says, my wife had a baby and I have to do Pidyon HaBen, and come to my home, and he gives the address of his next door neighbor, and he tells him to take the behemoth that belongs to the next door neighbor. So the Kohen walks off, Kohen B'shoigig is walking off with a behemoth that he's not entitled to. The Kohen is stealing the behemoth of the next door neighbor who doesn't have any pigeon at that. Or the Loiva tells the Malva, I owe you $100, take this behemoth. Turns out that it wasn't his behemoth to take. And the Malva is walking off with a behemoth that he's not entitled to. So there's an act of Geneva occurring. So that's how the other Rishonim say. The Mishnah isn't saying that the laws of pigeon aben and the laws of piron achov are similar to the laws of Geneva. We're talking about a Ghana. We're talking about someone doing Geneva, b'shoigeg, not realizing. So, who's Chayiv Kefal? In that case, who's Chayiv Kefal? So Tosfos says, the Ghana is Chayiv Kefal. I, but ain't shliach l'dvar aver. The Ghana tells the Koyin to take the behema. He says, let's say, the bracha here, take the behema, walk off, it's your behema, shay. So the Avi Aben, today is so long till he convinces the Koyin to do the dirty work for him. The Kohen does the act of Geneva on the behemoth. So or the Love convinces the Malva that this behemoth is mine, and you take it, and that'll be the Piranachov. It really wasn't his behemoth. So in effect what happened was that the Love got the Malva to do the act of Geneva to steal the behemoth. So Tosfos says that the Love becomes the Ganas, or the Avi Aben becomes the Ganas, because Yesh Shaliach L'Dvar Avera, whenever the Shaliach is doing the Avera B'Shoigeh. That's the famous Tosfos. The Rambam learns like that Tosfos. He doesn't learn like Rashi that the Mishnah is talking about the Shaila Yoyotze Pidyon HaBen. The Mishnah is not talking about the question, have you fulfilled the Tashlumi HaChov, Piron HaChov? No. It's in Perek Merubah. The theme of the whole Perek is Geneva. So the Mishnah is talking about the Avi HaBen tells the Kohen to take it, and that constitutes an act of Geneva over here. But whereas Tosfos learns, it says, Chayiv, if the Kohen or the Malva did a Mashiach and then the animal gets a heart attack after he left the Rishus of the Nignav, so it says that's an act of Geneva. So Tosfos learns Pshat that the Ganav becomes Mechuyev, Ba'onsin, because Yeshalich, or Dvarver, because the Shlich is B'shoigeg. The Rambam says, no, Chayiv means that the Kohen becomes a Ganav B'shoigeg. What is it? His fault? He didn't even realize that there was a Geneva going on. He thought this man's wife had a baby and a baby boy last week. He has to make a pidyon aben. He tells me this is his behemoth. How am I supposed to know? Otherwise, or the loiver tells the mamba, I owe you $100. He says, I know you owe me $100. He says, now I'm going to pay you. Here, take the bayma. It's all yours. He says, thank you. He walks off with the bayma. It's supposed to occur to him that this bayma doesn't belong to the loiver, it belongs to the next door neighbor, the stone bayma. It didn't occur to him. So Tosha says, since it didn't occur to him, he says, yesh lechem da'aveira. So the loiver becomes the ganav. The loiver becomes b'chuyif to pay kevah. And the Rambam says, no. The malva becomes b'chuyif to pay kevah. Mamish goyne b'shoigig. Aganav b'shoigig. According to the Rambam, aganav b'shoigig is chayif. Aganav b'shoigig is chayif to pay. Tosha apparently didn't like that pshat, that aganav b'shoigig is chayif to pay. So that's what prompted Tosfos to say, no, the Ganav B'Shoigeg serves as a Shliach. The Koyim is the Shliach B'Shoigeg, since he's, whenever the Shliach is B'Shoigeg, they can't apply the Svar Divra Rabbi Divra Talmud Divra Mishonim. So therefore you say, Yeshalech Adbar Avera, so the Aviyah then becomes the Ganav. So the Loida becomes the Ganav with the Pu'ula of the Koyim, or with the Pu'ula of the Malva. Not that the Malva or the Aviyah or the Kohen become a Ganav. That's a Geneva B'Shegeg. So that's a Machlekes Tosfos in the Rambam. This Gemara, Mefer is the Feirish, that the Dayan is paskening an Eretz and Mamish B'Shegeg, and still a Ganav B'Shegeg does become a Ganav. Unless you say again, like that Tosfos said over here, that this is not called a Ganav B'Shegeg, Hoylo Ledaktek B'Hoyro Osa.
That's
how Tosfos learns in that Mishnah.
Right.
That since the Kohen thought that he's entitled to walk over the bed, and the Malva thought that here the Lord is paying me the chov that he owes me. So he can't say that the Malva is a ganef, that's a double koshi, Tosfos holds. He can't say that the Kohen is a ganef, it's totally b'shoigeg. The one who's doing wrong is the Aviyah Ben or the Mishaleach. So you say, Yeshaleach l'dvar avera, and the Mishaleach is tied in Tam Ganav. The Mishaleach becomes tied Kevah.
You usually talk about the one who's doing the act. You say, you shouldn't have done it because you
wouldn't
know better. Therefore, what
right.
I'm telling you to do doesn't count. Because
right, that's what Tosfos says. But over here, where the Kohen thought that he's allowed to take it,
right.
He didn't realize that there's anything wrong. Right. But since the Shliach is B'Shoigeg, so Tosfos says, therefore the Mishnah tells you, Yesh aliyach l'dvar aved, and Yesh aliyach is chayv.
Exactly.
Yesh aliyach l'dvar aved means the shliach is chayv. No, Yesh aliyach l'dvar aved. Yesh aliyach l'dvar aved means therefore the shliach is done on behalf of the mishaleach. The mishaleach becomes mechuyav to take kefo because of someone else's geneva, because he wound up the kohen to steal the bein.
The other way.
What do you mean by the other way?
If you say that the one who's doing it still has the avera, in other words,
So Tyson says like this: we can't consider the koyin as a ganer. Geneva b'shagig is not geneva. You can't consider the malver who's collecting the chov as a ganer. A ganer b'shagig, Tyson assumes, is not a ganer. So then when the Mishnah says it's called an act of Geneva, it means it's an act of Geneva on behalf of the Mishaleh, on behalf of the Aviyah Ben, on behalf of the Loida. How can you say that the act of Geneva that I did makes you Chayv and Kevel? Yeshalech V'aravere. So they says yes, because the whole Svar of Divara, Divara Tam, Divara Mishem, it doesn't apply in such a case. That's what Tosfos writes. And the Shach and the Chayshim Mishnah quotes the Ritva, and what we see with this agrees. The Gemara says, yeah, that was at one point the Gemara wanted to give a svara that people, the Hamoinam, should appreciate, should understand the nature of the din, that Ein Shlich Baver. He said, that's not the real reason why. It's like there is a cause of Ein Shlich Baver. So it doesn't matter whether that svara of Divra Rabbi Divra Tam, whether the svara doesn't apply, doesn't make a difference. The din, Ein Shlich Baver. So the Mitzvah doesn't agree with Tosfos. Could be the Rambam also doesn't agree. So the Rambam learns, who's chayv kefil, who's patur? The kohen is chayv kefil, or the malve is chayv kefil, even though it's a ganav b'shoigeg, Agana b'shegig is also called Agana. So the Rambam Shita is, even though the Koyan thinks that he doesn't even realize he's doing anything wrong, he's taking a behemah, but yeah, he thinks Mamish Masasik, he thinks he's doing a mitzvah. He says, Zokta Broche. He thinks that he's doing a mitzvah over here. And nonetheless, we hold, the Rambam holds, that we hold the Kohen responsible to pay the kefal, even though he's a ganef b'shegig. So that's the Shaila. Argimura talks about the Dayan is considered a gazlan. There are two chidushim over here. Chidush number one, the Dayan isn't stealing the money to keep it from, he's taking the money to give to someone else. It's still called Zela. The only thing the Yerushalmi says there in Hakainis is Gainev Almanos Lahavid. If Patsua listim just to destroy it, Gamli Gamlach Lo, yeah, no one's going to have it. That's not called Gainev. But if I steal it, whether I steal that I should keep it or to give it to someone else, you steal from the rich, you give to the poor, is also called Gainev. It's also called Gainev. And secondly, what appears from this simple meeting in the Mar, that a Gazlan B'Shoigeng is also a Gazlan. Unless you say, like Tyson said later, that by the Dayan, it's never considered b'shoigeg because ha'ilo ledaktik yoyse b'hairos. Could be. That's what the Rashash on that Tyson's Lam Gimon Beis refers it to the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Echad, how does it say? Shigegas Talmud oyle zodom. If a person makes a mistake in learning, a person passes a shaila based on what he thought the din was, and then it comes out that he made a mistake. So that's considered as if it was the mezid, as if the rabbi who paskin an error paskin the mezid. Shigigas Talmud, a mistake in learning, oilo zodon. Because oilo ledaktik yosef, b'hairosa, like Tesis says, we consider it the mezid. The Rashash quotes that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos to support Tesis' explanation on Lam Gimel on base. Okay, so this is an important Gemara. That the Gemara says the Dayan, who by mistake takes the money from the wrong party, gives it to him, based on his error in Tzak, is treated like a ganav. Then the Gemara quotes from Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonis, in the last two lines, a Dayan who says his interest shouldn't be lightheaded. He should realize this is a very serious matter. He should have the perception, he should have the sense as if Gehenim Suchalo Mitachto. If he's going to pass him wrong, he's going to fall into Gehenim. On the one hand, we say, Ein lo dayan l'mashein abrayas. You have a right to pass him based on the way it was presented to you. And if you'll make a mistake, so lo yeyonish, shuv lo yeyonish. Even if you make a mistake, you won't be punished. Yeah. But on the other hand, you should have the seriousness at the time that you're passing. You should realize that in case you're going to make an error, and it will be your fault, If you would have researched it, you would have found out what the din really is. You didn't do enough research, so then you're going to go to Ganim. So when the dayan is paskining, working on the shaila, he should yira atzmo. He should visualize kilu Ganim psuchal amitachto. Ish chabal yerechem mipachet balelos. They're afraid mipachet shal Ganim shedayim al alayla. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk Beis David Dino La Boikam Mishpat. This pasuk was made famous by the Gemara. Who knows Yirmiyahu? This chapter is not from the famous chapter. This pasuk was made famous by the Gemara in the second parak. The Gemara says in the second parak that min haTorah a melech can be done with donim also. You can judge a king if the king stole money, so you judge the king, and the king can serve as a dayan in a bezdin. In a dintara, why not? And the Rabbanon, they said, "Ain donim b'samelach." You're never allowed to judge the king. Why did they make such a din with the Rabbanon? "Ain donim b'samelach." Here, melach loy don. On the bottom of Yud Testament Aleph. So the Gemara says they made a din with the Rabbanon. My time, the Gemara said, "Mishum ma'ase shahoya." 5 lines from the bottom. That Yanai Hamelach was a mishugan. Yan HaMelech was the brother-in-law of Shimon Meshetach. Mrs. Shlom Tzion HaMalka, Queen Salome, the wife of Yan HaMelech, was a sister. Her brother was a chief rabbi. But her husband was a nut. She must have been a nut also when she married Yan HaMelech. So on one occasion, the Eved of Yan HaMelech, they were always killing people. But they once caught him. He must have, every 100 people that he killed, they only got caught once. So on one occasion they caught him and they were going to judge him, and so Shimon HaShefa sent a message to Yana HaMelech. He has to come and he has to stand, and he got so angry so he killed all the Rabban. So Yana HaMelech killed all the Rabban, just didn't kill his brother-in-law Shimon HaShefa. So the Tanoim at that time saw this is not a good idea to be done the Melech. He may kill all the rabbis. So they did away with that din. The king is above the law. You never bring the king to court. You never punish the king. You don't start up at the king. Once you have such a law, whether Minatorim or the Rabbanim does make a difference. Once you have a law that this man is above the law, that you can't judge him if he does something wrong, then it does make sense that he should be able to serve as a dayan on any case, because you have a pasuk in Spanya here that's quoted six lines from the top of Yud Testament Aleph, going up in the bottom of the Omud. One quotes from Spanya chapter base, his kosher shuva kosher, which is a difficult pasuk. So the Gemara gives an additional level of interpretation. That's not the pasuk shot. Purify yourself. So the Gemara has a different shot. His kosher kosher kasheit asmucha. Don't give musa to other people before you straighten yourself out. If you talk in the middle of davening, so don't scream at the other guy that he talks in the middle of davening. Or you cheat in business, or you're giving him musa that he cheats in business. It doesn't make sense. You should give tochacha to someone else if you yourself haven't straightened yourself out. Kasheit atzmucha, and only afterwards v'achakach kasheit achera. So the Gemara says, since the melech is lo donimo, so midrabbanon, we're afraid that there may occur another tragedy like in the days of the Yana Melech, that he killed all the Rabbanim. So since the Melech is never to be judged, so therefore no Melech has the right to serve as a member of any Bezdin, because of this it would be a violation of Kasheit Atzmuch of Akkad Kasheit Achet. If he would make a Hezek, we would never judge him to make him pay. So he's not allowed to serve as a judge on anybody else's case, because he can never judge him. So the Gemara says, but this whole din that Amelach lo donim also, and therefore lo don, because it's kosher v'kosher, this can only apply to Malchei Yisrael, to all the other kings. But Malchei Beis David, you can't have such a din, because if you're going to say that Malchei Beis David ain't donim osam, this will be in contradiction to the pasuk in Yirmiyah that says Beis David dinu laberke and mishpat. The Navi Yirmiyah is encouraging all the malachim from the Malchei Beis David that they should judge people. So what's the kasha? That was before Shimon HaShefa. Yirmiyah Navi was in Bais Rishon. It was the end of the Bais Rishon. Shimon HaShefa was the end of the Bais Sheni, after the Chashmonoim. Yanai was the end of the Bais Sheni. So what's the kasha from the pasuk? It's very strange. What's the problem from the pasuk in Yirmiyah against the Takonos Chachamim? So the Rishonim asked that question. Very strange. That's what Rabbi Kivega says. Look in the Shar HaMelech, who quotes the Shita Mekubetus on Sanhedrin, who quotes in the name of the Tosfei HaRosh. We have the Tosfei HaRosh. We have that Tosfei HaRosh. So there a lot of Rishonim say like that. There's in this Gemara you see, like the Taz said, we mentioned the other day, the Taz says the Rabbanim have a right to make a Gzera the Rabbanim, but they can't make a Gzera, can't make a Dova HaMefurish Batur. Let's say the Chachamim made it clear that you're not allowed to blow shofar from a Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, because they were concerned Shem Yavarena Dal Rambis B'Shusara. So the Taz quotes a famous kashrut from the Bach, why didn't they prohibit Kiyah shofar on all Rosh Hashanahs? It's Mashmiah Kol. A shofar is a musical instrument, or even if it's not a musical instrument, it's a Kali HaMyuchad LaHashmoach Kol, and you're not allowed to do Mashmiah Kol. The Ramo says in Shulchan Aruch, not everybody reads, the Ramo says you're not allowed to use a knocker on a door. Even though it doesn't make music, it just makes noise, because it's a kli hamyuchad lahashmoas kol. So a shofar for sure is a kli hamyuchad lahashmoas kol. It may even be considered a kli shir. May even be considered musical. There's a yesh panim lakan v'yesh panim lakan. You could say that a shofar is not a musical instrument, but for sure it's a kli hamyuchad lahashmoas kol. So the Taz quotes this kasher from the Bach. Why didn't the Tachachamim? Why do they only prohibit Tkiya Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbat? Because they're concerned. Someone may forget and carry the Shofar. They should have prohibited Tkiya Shofar all the time because of the Gzeira Mashmiah Kol. Shem Yisakim Kleshir. So the Taz quotes from the Bach, that was his father-in-law, that the Chachamim do not have authority to be oiker a mitzvah mikol v'kol from the Torah. It says in the Torah you have to blow Shofar. It never says explicitly that you have to blow Shofar Even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, that doesn't say that. They have to have the ability to make a gzera to prohibit. But they can't prohibit a davar mefurish b'Torah. And that's how the Taz understood the Braisa and Mem Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara quotes Tanya right before the Mishnah. 7-8 lines right before the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. And the original source of this Braisa is the Megillah Steinus. Megillah Steinus is the predates the Mishnayos. Megillah Steinus before the days of the Mishnayos. Megillah Steinus was written down at the time that Rashi writes in Shabbos. Megillah Steinus called Megillah because it was written down in Megillah before the Mishnayos were written down, and the Mishnayos were still being said over Baal Peh. So the Megillah Steinus quotes this Braisa. Tanya Rabbez Miagram Shamati Shebez Demachmayon Sheshloim in Ator. Bez has the right to give Malkus Amisa. Even if al pi aloch they're not supposed to. However, v'lo laval zibra teiro k'dei lasis yog la Torah. They shouldn't have in mind to violate the laws of the Torah, but they should have in mind is that this should be a haru ashor l'migda milsa. So what kind of a crazy havamin is that v'lo laval zibra teiro? The bezdin is not allowed to give malchus amisa intending to violate the laws of the Torah. Of course they're not allowed to violate the laws of the Torah. What kind of a ridiculous havamin is that? So that's what the Taz quotes in the Bach. No, what it means, well, Allah Devatar means they can't make an enactment, the Rabbanim, Kenega Dova Hamafurish Batur. You can make a Lassus Yoglatur, but Labra Devatar to make a Dinder Rabbanim, that's an absolute contradiction to, outright clear cut contradiction to what it says in the Chumash, that the Chacham don't have the ability to do. The Pashtus is the reason why, because all the Dinim de Rabbanon blend in to become part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So how can you have such a Din de Rabbanon never allowing you to blow Shofar from Hashanah? How is that going to blend in with the Pasuk in Chumash? They're absolutely in contradiction with each other. You can't blend in. So that's what the Taz says. They cannot. They cannot make such a Din de Rabbanon that's Keneged Dova Hamafurish Bater. This is a famous machlokes in the Rishonim. Half of the Rishonim say like the Taz, and half of the Rishonim say against the Taz. So that's what the Tosfos HaRosh comments on this Gemara in the beginning of the second Perek. The Gemara quoted the pasuk in Sfanya, Beis David, no, the wrong pasuk, in Yirmiyah. Here, yeah. 7-8 lines from the bottom of Yud Tesvav Aleph, Beis David, Dino La Boikei Mishpat. Beis David, the Malchei, Beis David should judge. They should serve as Dayanim to judge in it in Torah. Since it's not a pasuk in Chumash, but it's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. So in the later generations, when Shimon ben Shetach, the days of Shimon ben Shetach, they issued this din de rabbanon that a melech lo donim also. And then the Mele, once he said melech in donim also, so the din has to be a melech in a don. He himself cannot serve as a don because of the pasuk in Spanya, his koshu va koshu, kashit atmoto, and only achakach kashit achem. Since you can't be judged, you have no right to serve as a judge to judge anybody else. So the Gemara says, how can this din apply to the Beis David? It will come out that the Din de Rabbanon is an outright contradiction to the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah Navi says, generations earlier, Yirmiyah Navi says, Beis David, Din Allah Berke Mishpat, and Malchi Beis David should judge. And then it's going to come a later generation, they're going to say, Malchi Beis David, I'm not allowed to judge. So what's wrong? So it means that you can't make a Gzeira de Rabbanon. That's what the Tosfos HaRosh interprets in the Gemara. The Chachamim in the days of Yanei HaMelech didn't have the ability to make a gzera de rabbanon, which would be an outright contradiction to the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Not only a mitzvah, not only a mitzvah. The Tanakh, anywhere in Tanakh, is not to be chumash. If something is described in Tanakh as acceptable, the Chachamim and the later generations are going to make a gzera. And it's going to come out that that's not acceptable. So how can their din blend in with what it says in the Tanakh? Like when the Chachamim prohibited carrying in a carpet. If you make a mechitza around an area, so that area is converted into Rishus HaYochid. What if you have a big forest, or you have a big farm where you have a lot of things planted and things are growing, nobody lives there, nobody ever walks there, just a farm of things growing, and you have a big mechitza, a big area around the whole area. So Minat Torah, the area is the Rishus HaYochid. With the Rabbana, they declared it's a carcass. If it's too big, it's a Yosem Beis HaSaim Shalohukuf Ladir. Nobody lives there. So with the Rabbana, you're not allowed to carry. So why did they pick on a Shir Yosem Beis HaSaim? A Beis Tor is 50 Amos by 50 Amos. Beis Tor Sayim is two times a Beis Tor, so it's 100 Amos by 50 Amos. where'd they get this magical number of 50 amas by 100 amas? If it's 50 by 100 or smaller, then it doesn't bother me if it's lahuk of the deer. But if it's larger, it bothers me. Why did they give such a shir? So the answer is because that was the size of the Chatzah HaMishkan. In days of Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody lived in the Mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu was carrying it. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron and Kandeh were carrying on Shabbos in the Mishkan. So if you in a later generation are going to introduce a Chumra Midirabbanon, that you're not allowed to carry in a location, in an area that's Beis HaSayin or smaller, if it's Lahuk of Nadir, it's going to come out that based on your Gzer Dirabbanon, what Moshe Rabbeinu did was an Issa. Because he was never the doctor to carry less than Dalet Amos. He used to carry the Mishkan from one place to the other. Because it was hukaf. It had mechitzas around. It wasn't hukaf ladira. But a chachamim, it's a pastach nisha. It doesn't make sense to make a din derabanan. That's an outright contradiction to something that's described in Tanakh as being acceptable. And we were talking the other day, what about the cherem derab de negersh, not to marry two wives? So the achranim, how do they have the right to do that? Isn't that an outright contradiction? The psukim and chumash that speak about circumstances where a man is married to two wives. So the later achranim said, there is no such person. It never said. It talks about people who had two wives, one after the other. It doesn't necessarily speak about a person who has two wives at the same time. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's married to both wives at the same time. Of course it includes that also. Why not? I mean, our Torah is mutter to have two wives. So what's wrong? Yeah, but it doesn't really say explicitly. It could be the person who's talking bizarre and that. That's what some say. The Rabbi Negershim had a right to make such a gzeirah. Because there is no pasuk explicitly against. But over here, you have the pasuk explicitly against. So this pasuk, Beis David Dina La Bokeh Mishpat, is known, is more famous because of more Yud Tes Amud Aleph. This is the less famous Gemara. So what did our Gemara quote it for on the top of Zayin Amud Beis? They wanted to know, why does it say Boker? You only judge in the morning. You never have a din Torah in the afternoon. If the rabbis have to prepare in the morning for the shiur, and the shiur is until 3 o'clock, so the din Torah begins after 3 o'clock. The Torah isn't going to be in the morning if you're busy. So why does it say, Din Allah Baika Mishpa, Dhiba Baika Dan Lachala Yah Main Dorin? You can judge all day long. The answer is, Boker means it's Barlach Adavar Kaboker. If it's clear as daylight, clear as broad daylight, when the sun rises, then you know that it's daytime. That the psak is absolutely clear, Amrehu. In love, Al Tamrehu. You shouldn't rush into giving a psak before you're absolutely positive that that is the psak. Gemara has later on the daf, about 15-20 lines on the bottom, they quote from Pirkei Avos. It says on the right hand, on the right side margin, Avos Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph, Heaven Mesunim Badin. That's the first Mishnah, the Anshei Knesset Hagdalah Heimam Mishlosh Advarim. The one is having misunim badin. When you have a din Torah, you shouldn't give a snap psak. There's some rabbanim, they know the psak before they even hear the case. They're so fidgety and they're so nervous that they don't have patience to listen to the whole shaila. So they already formulated their position on the din before they hear all the details of the case. So that's ridiculous. If you have one slight difference in the detail, so the whole din can be totally different. So the din requires having misunim badin. Shouldn't take forever to paskin a din, but you shouldn't rush. You shouldn't rush, shouldn't make up your mind too quickly. You have to let the details of the case sink into your mind, and you have to think about what the din should be. So how do you know that there's such a klal having the sin about din? So one of the psukim that was quoted is this pasuk, based on the din ala berken mishpah. Has to be bara hadova kabok, has to be absolutely clear. The other pasuk was emolo chachma chosiyad. And bar hadova kachos toshi asur aloch tamrei v'imlav al tamrei has to be absolutely clear. It's not going to be clear unless you're going to have heaven mesunim badin. You have to think a little bit, make sure that you have the right stuff. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say that a lot of times Baal Batim call up the rabbi on the telephone and they expect an answer right away on the phone. So he said that's not permissible. You should say, I'm going to look up the din, hang up the telephone, and then look up the din and then call him back. First of all, if you don't look it up and you pass it right like this, he said that he thinks that's a violation of having the sunnah button. Yeah. You hang up the phone, you think about it for a minute before you give a hasty answer. And then he said, number two, the Prima Godim and the other Achrenim say that just like there is a din of Meirah Halacha Bifnei Rabo, that was the Gemara we had before, and Afhamid Beis, is a din of Meir Halacha B'Shnei Rabba. So the Rishonim said that B'Zman HaZeh, we don't really have a person who's called Rabbi Muvok. Rabbi Muvok is the individual who's Rav Chochmasa Hemen. That he had such a strong influence on me, he really formed my Torah personality. Whatever Torah personality I have was really formed by that person. So the Rishonim said, we don't really have such a thing, B'Zman HaZeh. A Rebbe should Rav Chochmasa Hemen, because most of our knowledge is from Sfarim. That's what the Rishonim say. So the Prima Gadim says, so this printed Svarim are the Rebbe. So if someone passes without looking up in the Sefer, that's Moir HaLocha B'Fnei Rabbi. Because the printed Sefer in the bookcase is the Rebbe. So you always have to look up. That's like consulting the Rebbe. You have to look up in the Sefer. Even though it's a din that came 100 times, what is there to discuss? No, you should still look it up. That's what Rav Soloveitchik would say. That if the Balabatim, he used to tell the Mesmochim, if the Balabatim call on the phone, it's not a smart idea to pass it on the phone. You should say, I'm going to look it up, and hang up the phone, and then look it up. And that way, one will, number one, not be in violation of having Mesunah Badin. That's a little more Mesunah than answering right on the spot. And number two, it's an issue, it's a consideration of Meir HaLoch B'Fnei Rabbi, not to pass him without consulting the Svarim, like one whose Rebbe is present, not to pass him without consulting the Rebbe. Then the Gemara says that if the Bez made a mistake, so they're going to go to Gehenna. They're going to burn to Gehenna. So if the Din Torah is being determined by one person alone, he's going to burn to Gehenna. If it's a Din Torah that's being judged by 3 people and they all worked it out together and it turns out that all 3 made a mistake, so we'll divide it by 3. So each one has the pool of Gehenna. So it's better if you have 10. If you have 10 Rabbanim, so then it comes that each one only gets 1/10 of a Gehenna. Or let's say there's a shayla on an animal, whether it's a treifa or not a treifa. So they're going to paskin it's a treifa, and then they're going to throw it to the dogs, and then they may find out later on that they made a mistake. So they're at fault for being mafsid the butcher. He threw out this animal to the dogs. They sold it to the goyim as non-kosher meat, and the rabbanim in their mistake him stuck that it was a treifa, were mafsid the butcher, the meat shop. So the Gemara says that's why they were Amoraim. Whenever a Shaila of a Treifas would come, they would gather together 10 Rabbanim. Umaisi Asura Rabbanim in Beirav, he would gather together 10 Talmid HaChamim from the Yeshiva. Or he would gather together all of the Shochtim from the city, Mosa Mechasya. He would gather together all the Shochtim so they should all participate in the Psah. When they had a Paschim that something is kosher or treif, whichever direction, the more people participate in the Psah. So it comes out that even if they made a mistake, first of all, there's less chance of making a mistake. Some of the people don't know the din, someone else will know. So the more people you have in the business, better a chance you'll have that someone will know what it says where, in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara, that the thing is Asura Mutam. But even if the law makes a mistake, so it'll turn out that each one will only be punished partially. Like if I pass an all on my own, so they may take a log of wood and throw it in my head from heaven, and crack my skull open. And like this, each one gets a toothpick thrown at his head. Because you take the log and you divide it in 10. So each one gets Shiva. Shiva is a toothpick, Mikshura. Instead of the whole beam being thrown at me, that I'm held responsible for the whole psak all by myself, so we divide it in 10. That's how the Gemara recommends. Shiva Mikshura. Then the Gemara says you have to be careful to appoint a Dayan who's like a Melech, as opposed to a Dayan who's like a Kohen. Melech in Mishpat Yamin Eretz, the Melech is a wealthy man, he never has to come onto anybody else's money. So if the Dayan is Daima LeMelech Shein Tzorach LeKulim, he doesn't have to come onto anybody else, then it's good. Then that's a good Dayan. But if he's like a Kohen, who has to go around from one farm to the other and ask for handout, they ask for the Truma, because the Kohanim don't get a share in Eretz Yisrael. So they have, what do they live on? They live on the handouts of the Truma that they get. So if the Dayan is like a Kohen, has to ask for Truma, Ish Trumas, then Yahar Sema, then it will be Harisa Soilam. In what way is the Dayan Daima to a Kohen that he needs that it's Sorech L'Acherim? So Tosis points out there are two levels of interpretation. The two different Gemaras have the same memory with two different understandings, and they're both correct. Tosis says they're both correct. One shot is, if the rabbi is money hungry, so there are some rabbis who are very hungry for money. Most people enjoy money. So there are some rabbis who are noted for their desire for money. So whoever will give them money, they'll right away be meshuchad to paskin in their favor. So that's terrible. So if the dayan is tzorach leklum, if the dayan is a rich man, he doesn't need anybody else's money. Or if the dayan, even if he's not rich, he's samech lechelko, ezer asher samech lechelko. He has what he has, and he's not looking to get any richer. He doesn't need anybody else's money. So then he's going to be able to judge honestly. But if the dayan is a rabbi who's hungry for money, so that'll be a tragedy. Mistama, somebody's going to give him some kind of shechad or another, even b'shoigeg. A lot of times he's going to have shechad b'shoigeg because I'm friendly with that rabbi. I once gave him an aliyah, I once gave him a kovet or something years ago. So subconsciously there may be shechad over here. So that's going to pose a problem. So that's one level of interpretation. If the rabbi is tzorech leklum, if he needs money from others, he's not independently wealthy, or he's not satisfied with what he has, and he's always looking for more money, then it's going to be a tragedy. He probably will not be able to paskin properly. He'll always have an egiya to paskin in favor of the one who's going to give him. He'll know in advance who's going to give him matonis. So no, if I paskin in his favor, it'll pay off. If I paskin in his favor, it's not going to pay off. So that's a tragedy. Then Tosfos says there's another level of interpretation in the context of our Gemara. Inksuv is daf kufhei, that's what it means. Dayan shein esorach leklum means he doesn't need anybody's money. In our Gemara, dayan shein esorach leklum means he's very knowledgeable, very learned. He doesn't need anybody else to tell him what the din is. He knows on his own, because that's the context by us. The Gemara says that it's forbidden to appoint a dayan who doesn't know how to learn. What's the problem? He'll go ask the other rabbi. Whenever a din Torah will come, he'll sit and make believe he knows, and then he'll call on a telephone. Years ago, everybody used to have on the back of the smichas from Tiferes Yerushalayim, used to have Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's phone number. That's how the Yagoda goes. That's how the legend goes. So whenever a din Torah, whenever Shaila comes up, he'll call Rabbi Moshe, and he'll find out what the psak is, what's the problem. So the Gemara says, no, that's a tragedy, because he's going to think that he does know, and he'll start the paskin on his own. So that's in the context of our Gemara. That's the way it's quoted. Dayin she'ena tzorach leklum, he doesn't need anybody else to figure out what the din is. But if he needs other people to tell him, that's going to be a tragedy. And the Gemara says, if you appoint a dayin who doesn't know how to paskin, that's a violation of laisika lecho ashera. Ashera is the chavodah zara. What's the hashvo? Why is it a hashvo over here? Why is it a comparison? He means to stay over the din wrong is an aspect of Avodah Zarah. Because we believe that the Torah is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if the dayan doesn't know the din, he asks him what the din is, and he doesn't have Ramosha's phone number, he won't be able to say it over. He's going to say it over wrong. So that is Avodah Zarah. That's what the Gemara means. So the question, what does the Gemara compare it to an Asherah? So then the Gemara says, and what if they could have appointed a Talmid Chacham, and because of political considerations, they appointed the Am HaOretz as a dayan or as a rabbi? Then it's even worse than planting an Asherah. It's like planting an Asherah. Eikel Mizbach Hashem Lekach. You have the Mizbech here. What do you need the Asherah for the Avodah Zarah? Here's the Mizbech for the Rabban Shalom. You have a Talmid Chacham. If you didn't have any Breira, in order to get a Talmid Chacham, you have to go fly off to Australia and to the US. It's too difficult. The local candidates for the job, they're all Amirat. Okay? So that's a Halbet Zarah. That's an Isra of Lositeluch Asherah. You shouldn't have appointed a rabbi who's an ignoramus. But if you could have had a Talmid Chacham, for the same money, you could have had a Talmid Chacham, and you choose for political considerations to take the Am HaOretz, then it's like planting an Asherah, it's a Mizbach Hashem Elokecho, then it's a bigger reason. Yeah, you're not allowed to charge money for only Skarbatala. Only if the dayan, let's say, has a job and now he has to take off from his job. So Skarbatala, you're allowed to take.
So now, that, in other words, you shouldn't give somebody Skarbatala who's very hungry for money. The other Gemara.
No.
There are
rabbis who will do a din Torah for nothing, but they know to paskin in his favor. Because I know if he wins, he's going to be Mahanami in the future.
Oh, but no, he's not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to do that.
Even Shechad Me'uchar, it says in Shulchan Aruch, just like Ribbis Me'ucharis. Ribbis Deraisa is, if I lend you $1,000 and I say you can keep it for a year and I want you to pay me back 10% interest. So that's Ketzitza, B'Shas Halvor, that's Ribbis Ketzitza. And what if I didn't stipulate? I said, here's $1,000 interest free. The end of the year, the guy says, I made $5 billion from your $1,000. I appreciate it so much. Here's $5,000 back. So that's forbidden mid rabbanus. Mutam in Atayra. He never made any seats of Bishas Alva, but that's forbidden mid rabbanus. And what if he pays back the $1,000 at the end of the year, and then 5 years later, he says, I appreciate so much that halva that you lent me $1,000, I became a multi-billionaire, and here's a matan, he pays it back later. So that's called Ribis Mu'cheres. Ribis Mu'cheres is also forbidden mid rabbanus. So there's a rush later who points out from the Gemara in the third Perek that just like Ribis Mu'cheres is prohibited, so too Shochad Mu'uchar is also forbidden. Not only is it forbidden to give Shochad in advance, you're not permitted to give but to take Shochad before the Dayan judges the case, because he may judge in favor of one party as opposed to the other because he paid him Shochad, even if he already did paskin the case, finished. And after the case was all get paskin, then in appreciation, I saved the person aggravation and a lot of money. In appreciation, he sends me a check. So you're not allowed to take that. That's Shochad Mu'uchar. That's what the Rosh has called in Shulchan Aruch. That's a Gemara, Daf Chav Zayin on the base, right before the Mishnah. Right before the Mishnah. The Gemara says there was once a Din Torah. And the Dayan paskin in favor of one person. And the person was so appreciative that he won the Din Torah. He kissed the rabbi and he promised to pay his taxes for the rest of his life. The Balabas one that the interior is going to pay the rabbi's taxes for the rest of his life. And the Gemara records this. Kom Bar Choma. Bar Choma was a real criminal. Bar Choma was from the underworld. He was a gangster. So in this interior, he was acquitted. So Nashke Akari, he kissed the rabbi on his feet. The Kable Lekrage de Kulishnik. And accepted upon himself to pay the rabbi's taxes for the rest of the rabbi's life. The Kulishnik. So the Rosh comments on this Gemara, and how was the rabbi allowed to accept this matana? So the Gemara records the story to tell you that this is only in this case it's mutter, because Mikra Adin rabbis are not supposed to pay any tax. That's the Gemara. The Rabbanim, the Gemara Baba Basra says, Tamidah Chachamim Apata Milishalei Misa. They don't have to pay any tax. The Mikra Adin, what the Balabas accepted was Lamala V'Lamur, because the rabbi could have shown his ID card. I'm at the faculty of Yeshiva University. But you go into the tax office and say you're on the REITs faculty, the Talmidei Chacham Apata, from paying taxes. So the Balabas accepted upon himself to pay the taxes, so it's not even Shochad Mu'uchar. It's not even Shochad Mu'uchar. But if the Balabas would give him a box of chocolates or send him a bouquet of roses or something, then it would be Shochad Mu'uchar. Then the rabbi would have to send it back. The rabbi wouldn't be permitted to accept it. This he was allowed to accept because Ben Kovako, he was Mu'uchar. He could have gotten out of the taxes by just demonstrating that he's a rabbi. He wouldn't have to pay the taxes. So that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That Shochad Mu'uchar, even Shochad Mu'uchar is also awesome. Shochad that you take in advance for sure is awesome. That's a pasuk in Chumash. And not only it's awesome to take the Shochad, the Dayan who already took the Shochad is pasul adun. If he doesn't judge the case, it comes out that he didn't violate Shochad. If he'll judge the case after taking Shochad, then it comes out he violated the Yisr Shochad. If he takes Shochad, then he's mistalik from the case. It comes out there was no violation of Shochad. He wasn't the dying on the case. Then the Gemara raises a problem. Power always corrupts. Person is appointed, just yesterday Mr. Joel was speaking at the Smicha lunch, so he was talking about this, that power corrupts. When you appoint a person as a president of a big institution, or you appoint a person a gabbai in the shul, the first couple of weeks the gabbai is going to act normally. Then after a while he's going to already take revenge from his enemy. He's not going to give this guy mafta when he has yahrzeit and the guy's polishing to get mafta. He's not going to let him daven for an omid. He has the chazok for the last 20 years. He's going to make up something. He doesn't like him, so he's going to make some excuse why he can't do it. Well, the rabbi has power also to a certain extent. So sometimes the rabbi will misuse his power. He'll have some balabas he doesn't like, so he'll give up stock against that balabas, which isn't really 100% on the level, because he doesn't like him, he has it in for him. So the Gemara keeps on saying the way people in a position of power have to be careful that the power shouldn't go to the head. So the Gemara says there were Tanoim and Amaroim whom they used to carry on their shoulders, and they used to applaud, and everybody stood up, and they showed him Kavod Malachim, and they would always be afraid that it's going to go to the head. So they had a chaza, they would recite psukim from Tanakh about the insignificance of man to make sure that they don't fall in. I think they tell a story about the Rebbe Reb Shmelke, if I'm not mistaken, that when he was accepted as the rabbi in Nikolsburg, so he came by train, and then they were going to have a Kabbalah Sponim in his honor. So he said he's exhausted from the train trip, he needs a few minutes of privacy and a room. So they went, they gave him a room, and he's going to rest up for 10 minutes, and then he's going to go to the Kabbalah Sponim. So one of the Balabatim was very curious to know what he's going to do in the room. So he hid in the closet. And he sees where the Rebbe Reb Shmelke didn't take a nap. He walks up in front of the mirror and he starts talking to himself in Yiddish. And he says, Shalom Aleichem, the Rebbe Reb Shmelke. Welcome to God Lador. We welcome you. We're so happy that you came to our community. We have the greatest going in the generation. He's praising himself. He's looking in the mirror, praising himself, greeting himself. So the Balabas was in the closet. He thought he flipped his lid. What is he, crazy? So he couldn't. He had the door open a little bit. So then he jumped out and he said, what are you doing? What kind of drosha is this? So he was all taken aback that somebody was there. So he said he knows that they're going to give droshes in his honor and greet him and lay it on thick, and he's afraid it's going to go to his head. So he wants to practice now praising himself. When I praise myself, that's ridiculous. That doesn't mean anything. So the Mishnah says, Yikvot chavercha chavid balecha kishaloch. When your others give you kavod, it should have the same chashivas like when you give yourself kavod. When the person gives himself covered, it doesn't mean anything. What do you mean I'm giving myself covered? So I'm training myself now so that later on, when they're going to give me covered, I'll know it doesn't mean anything. It's all covered I'm doing. Just like now, it doesn't mean anything. So later also, it doesn't mean anything. So you have to, people in a position of authority and power, have to be careful that the covered shouldn't go to the head. After a long while, the rabbi who doesn't know anything, and he has balabatim who know less than minus, the rabbi knows zero and the balabatim know minus, so they think they're rabbi, the chief rabbi of the world. So after many years of being in such a position, he'll start to think that he is somebody. It'll go to his head. He'll think that he is the God Lador. So one has to be very careful. That's what Rashi and Taisus interpret in the Gemara. The Dayan has Elu Kalei HaDayanim. You have a makel, a ritzua, to beat people up. So Rashi and Taisus say you have to be Zoriz. You have to be zoriz, not to be matalemi yisayir ala tzibu shalo the shem shamayim. Sometimes the dayan has it in for someone, so he'll see to it that they beat him up a little more than the halacha really requires. So that's terrible. The Gemara says in the first perek in Chagigah, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Navi, which speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a loshen melitza, not to be taken literally, but figuratively as a mashal. It says that Baruch Shalom sheds three tears every day. So what are the three tears all about? Shalosh demos halalu keneged mai. So the Gemara says, one tear he shed, two of the three tears he sheds on the misplaced people in this world. The people went into the wrong field. They didn't know. People who belonged in learning, they went into a secular field. The people who went into a secular field, they really belonged in learning. Or people who went into law, they should have gone into music. Some who went into music should have gone into medicine. People went into dentistry. They should have gone into garbage collection. It should have been something else. A lot of misplaced people in this world. So two of the tears that the Ribbono Shel Olam sheds are over the misplaced people. They didn't know what field they were supposed to go in, and they're going to be miserable the rest of their lives. And the third tear, the Gemara says, is the Ribbono Shel Olam shedding a tear over the great tragedy of a dayan hamizgoy al atzibur, of a parnos. A parnos hamizgoy al atzibur. A person is appointed to a position of leadership, and he misuses his power and his authority just for himself. That's what Mr. Joel was talking about yesterday. That when a guy wants to be elected to office for something, so he has to hack everybody, why this cause is so important, you have to elect me to office in order that I should bring about this result. And then after being in office for a couple of years, then he really forgets about all the causes. He has to be elected because I have to be elected. It's so important that I have to be elected. He already thinks that that's the result. That's the tachlis. That's not the tachlis. Who needs you? We need you because you're doing the right thing. If you're not doing the right thing, we don't need you. So that's a universal problem. That's what the Gemara is working on over here. The Gemara in Chelek speaks about... Gemara in Chelek has an expression. The parnas who leads the tzibur properly... Here on Daf Tzadik Beis Amenal, right in the middle. Omer Rabbi Loza, Kol Parnas Shemanigas Atzibur Benachas. If you have such a thing, a leader over the Jewish community who does a good job, he doesn't overstep his bounds, so they'll be zeicher to lead the Jewish community loyla mabo. That'll be their reward. Because the Gemara assumes that there aren't too many people who belong in that category. Parnas on manigas atzibur benachas, that they don't misuse their power and their authority. Then the Gemara shemar benachechem. The Gemara says the dayan is not allowed to listen to one baldin before the other one comes, and the baldin is not allowed to present his case if he knows the other one is not there, because whatever story you're going to hear first, you're going to assume that that was the case. And then he won't be able to absorb the other version of the story. You'll always be thinking back, but that's not what happened. That the other guy told me faker. You have to have them both in front of you, because each one can present the whole story of sheker that's going to sound in his direction. Unfortunately, this is often violated, that the dayanim listen to one version of the story before the other baldin is there. The Gemara says, "Bishvata tem seri benisha benochi veben geira." What does it mean, benisha benochi? I feel ben bayis laliyah. The father died and he left the home with two stories, upstairs and downstairs. And we have to determine the two children are going to yarshin. We have to determine how much is the upstairs worth, how much is the downstairs worth. They're supposed to divide Yerusha 50-50 if nobody's a chor. So how do you determine how much the upstairs is worth, how much the downstairs is worth? So the Gemara says you have to have a bezin to make the shuma. The bezin shouldn't be people that have their noses in the Gemara. You have to have a bezin of three people in real estate and business who understand it. But you're supposed to have a bezin. The way to do it, you're supposed to have a bezin to do shuma. You not only don't only need a bezin to paskin halacha, so to listen to the facts. Very often the psak just is based on which facts, which version of the facts are correct. So you need a bezin to determine whose version of the story is correct and to determine what the psak should be. You need a bezin also to make a shuma. Bein bayis laliyah. Then the Gemara says bein tana likirayim. Also bein tana likirayim. What does it mean bein tana likirayim? So pasha pshat is also that the father died and he left a tana or a kirayim, and he has two sons, they have two daughters, and no one gets any pishnayim. So you have to assess. You don't just say, well, I'll take a tana, you'll take a kirayim. No, which one is worth more? Which one is worth less? If the children don't care and they're mevatah to each other, fine. But sometimes they do care. Let's say a woman dies, she leaves a lot of jewelry. So all the daughters are divided. Says, I'll take this and you'll take this. What do you mean you're taking this? She's taking jewelry. It's worth 10 times as much as the others are taking. That's not fair. So if all the sisters get along and there's not paid it, so they'll divide it. But sometimes it's not so pashut. Sometimes they're embarrassed to say that they don't agree. One will have greedy, will be very greedy, and they'll want to take the most valuable piece of jewelry. So then it's not right. So the others should take a few pieces of jewelry. That it should be shabbos. They can get it. But that's how Rashi learns. Ben tana b'kirayim. You don't just say, you take a tana, you take a kirayim, you have to assess what the value is. Rashi learns that it's the same as ben bayis laliyah. Now ben Hananel has an original interpretation here, and he says that this gemara ben tana b'kirayim is an allusion to the Mishnah in Bava Basra. In the second parak, the Mishnah says, if you live upstairs and I live downstairs, I'm not allowed to move in and make a bakery downstairs if you have wine upstairs. We were discussing the other week, because if I'm going to have a bakery, it's going to ruin the wine, because the Yayin Mavushal is garua, inferior to Yayin Chai. So there's a din of hachakas nezikin, the rules and regulations. What are you allowed to do if you're doing it right next to the neighbor's door or right below the neighbor who lives upstairs? So there are klolim of hachakas nezikin. So the Rabbeinu Hananel understands that all of the dinim, that's the bottom line in the Rabbeinu Hananel. Kama harchokas hatanur min hakoisel, o min haziva shetachas hatanur. The kama harchokas hakira. So the Rabbeinu Hananel learns that the whole institution of harchokas nezikin that appears in the second paragraph of Bava Basra, all those boring, very boring details, all those are based on this din d'oraisa. Based on this passage, Ben Gero has the connotation Ben Tana Likirayim. Okay, we'll have to finish some other time. Tomorrow is a shiur. Okay, we have a few options tomorrow. Should we continue on Sanhedrin? Should we do? There is no Parshas Hashavu. Okay, should we do Hilchos Rosh Hashanah? Should we do Hilchos Yom Kippur? Should we do Hilchos Sukkos? A suggestion was made. Usually we spend a day on Rosh Hashanah and a day on Yom Kippur. Everybody knows Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, and then Sukkot gets cheated. So maybe we should start right away with Sukkot, on the assumption that everybody remembers what Rosh Hashanah is all about from the last 10 years. Of the world. How many people interested in learning Sanhedrin tomorrow? Okay, Kavod HaTorah. Okay. How many people want to do Hilcha Sukkah? Kinyone Sukkah. Okay. And how many want Hilchas Rosh Hashanah? Hey. Wow. Again. How many people want Rosh Hashanah? What? Again. How many people want Rosh Hashanah? And how many people want Sukkah? It's about 50-50. What's wrong? Okay. I'll figure it out by tomorrow. Is it 50-50?